This past Thursday was the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is Latin for Body of Christ. On this day, there is a procession in honor of the Holy Eucharist. Here in the United States, few would be able to attend a procession of the Holy Eucharist on a weekday on account of work, and so therefore, normally the procession would be observed on the following Sunday. Due to the coronavirus and the restrictions, we had a rather small procession on Thursday with the First Communion Mass. Now let us reflect today on the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and I take our reflection from the Catechism, Wonders of the Catholic Faith, by Father Francisco Radecki. Speaking to the apostles and the crowd that followed him, our Lord told that he would give himself in the Holy Eucharist. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert and have died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that if anyone eat of it, he will not die. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The manna, which the Jews miraculously received during their sojourn in the desert, prefigured the bread of life, Holy Communion, which Christ would institute in the New Testament. Our Lord had prepared the people to accept his promise that he would give himself in the Holy Eucharist. For he had performed miracles, changing water into wine at the marriage feast, and twice feeding a large number of people by multiplying the loaves and fishes. In fact, one of these miracles of loaves and fishes occurred immediately before he told the same multitude of people that he would give them his body to eat and his blood to drink unto life everlasting. Our Lord insisted that we receive him in Holy Communion. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. Consider the meaning of the Latin prayer as the priest gives you Holy Communion. May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your soul unto life everlasting. Amen. By Holy Communion, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Yes, we are physically united with Jesus Christ. The real presence of Christ is hidden under the appearance of bread and wine. The Council of Trent teaches in the precious sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, after the consecration of the bread and wine, our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is truly, really, and substantially contained under the species of those sensible things. By remaining with us in the Holy Eucharist, our Lord shows his infinite love for us. We must show our love to Christ in return. This is why we call this sacrament Eucharist. For this Greek word means to give thanks. We also call this sacrament Holy Communion. The word communion is from two Latin words meaning union with. When you receive Holy Communion, you have Christ all to yourself. Yes, our Lord is with you alone. It is not as if you are one among a crowd of people. No, it is not as if Christ gives his time and attention to everyone, and therefore only a limited attention to you. Ah, no. Christ does not limit his attentiveness. But you have Christ all to yourself, and not as if you must share Christ with the other faithful who are also receiving Holy Communion. Our Lord instituted this wondrous sacrament at the Last Supper, but our Lord wished to give himself not to the apostles alone, but to remain for all time. Christ gave to the apostles and their successors this power of offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass and thereby consecrating the Holy Eucharist. Not only bishops, but also priests offer Mass. Christ wishes to be united with us, his children. He is received into our hearts and souls and remains always in the tabernacles throughout the world. Christ's presence is not restricted to only Mass, but he remains in the tabernacle so that we may come to adore him and to bring our problems to him. Yes, let us bring our problems to our Lord and speak to him with all the love of our hearts. When we come to make a visit in church, let us pray with thanks, petition, sorrow, and reparation for our sins. By Holy Communion, bread and wine are instantly changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Yet the appearance of bread and wine remain. The Church describes this miracle by the word transubstantiation. This word means that the accidents, that is, the traits of bread and wine remain. The color, shape, and taste. Although these external traits remain, the substance of the bread and wine are destroyed and replaced by our Lord Jesus Christ. The canon of the Mass begins with the Sanctus and concludes before the Our Father. The Greek word canon means fixed rule. This is why the Council of Trent taught that the canon of the Mass must not be changed. This part of the Mass, the canon of the Mass, is perpetual. It was meant to not be changed. But John the 23rd, the first false pope of the new Vatican II Church, broke this law by inserting the name of St. Joseph into the canon of the Mass. By thus changing the canon of the Mass, he paved the way for further changes in the Mass. Finally, the false pope, Paul VI, introduced the new Mass in 1969. This new Mass is invalid. The Holy Eucharist is not consecrated at this Mass, and so the Vatican II faithful are not receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. They are not receiving the Holy Eucharist They are only receiving bread and wine, and they are attending a false service which is offensive to Almighty God. Holy Communion is like Christmas anew. As the shepherds and magi, we have Christ truly with us. We receive an increase of sanctifying grace as well as sacramental grace. By receiving Holy Communion, we have our venial sins forgiven, and we are strengthened to overcome temptation. I always make a point before First Holy Communion to have the children practice receiving the host. Adults who may have never received such an explanation might be advised to adjust how you receive Holy Communion. Close your eyes. Tip your head back. Open your mouth and extend your tongue. Wait until after the priest has given Holy Communion to the next person before you stand up to leave the rail. Do not rush when you leave the communion rail, or you might inconvenience an elderly person next to you who requires more time. Never chew the host. As I practice with the children, I have them keep the host on the tongue until it is moist. Then, using the tongue, the children turn the host over in their mouths so that the other side of the host also becomes moist. Then the host can be swallowed without adhering to the roof of the mouth. If, however, the host were to adhere to the roof of the mouth, you must never touch the sacred host with your finger, but use your tongue to loosen the host from the roof of the mouth, and then you are able to swallow the sacred host. As you return to your pew for your Thanksgiving prayers, remember that our Lord remains with you for approximately 15 minutes. Father Francisco tells how we are to speak to our Lord, offer him your love, petition Christ for your spiritual and physical needs, pray for all your loved ones and the faithful departed, tell him you are sorry for your sins, and talk to Jesus. It is good to choose one or more Thanksgiving prayers from your missal to pray. You will find these prayers after the Mass. One prayer that is especially recommended is the prayer before the crucifix. This prayer has a plenary indulgence attached with the usual conditions. It would be well also to explain proper reverence for the Blessed Sacrament in coming into church and leaving church. As you come into church, normally there would be the holy water to bless yourself. Then you genuflect on your right knee. As you come into the church, after genuflecting, you do so in order to show respect for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The genuflection was a way of showing respect for legal authority in ancient Rome. Now, it stands to reason that we must not show less honor to God than we would show to a king or emperor. You then go to the pew where you will be seated. Before entering the pew, again genuflect in the aisle. When leaving church, you should genuflect as you step out of the pew and into the aisle. At the back door, again genuflect. Now, recall how I mentioned that one must not be rushed in leaving the communion rail. lest you inconvenience an elderly person next to you who requires more time. So also, be attentive, be considerate when you genuflect at the back of church or in the aisle before going into your pew or coming out of your pew. Be alert and considerate so as to not inconvenience or trip up another person who is also coming into church or leaving church. Let us close with a story of a miracle when our Lord once appeared radiantly. Yes, the sacred host in a church in France no longer looked like bread, but our Lord miraculously showed himself. Multitudes of faithful flocked to witness the miracle. King Louis IX was asked if he would also go to see our Lord visibly present. But the saintly king declined going, since by faith he believed what others saw with their eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.